Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Please be seated. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he's writing to them from prison, where he is in Rome, most likely handcuffed to a jailer in a home somewhere. This is a letter that he talks so much about rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. It's a prisoner writing that letter to them. And he asked them this morning what we heard, to imitate him, who he has molded his life after, our Lord Jesus. And he cautions them about people who will live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I've told you, Paul writes, of them. And now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. And he calls on us to stand firm in the Lord. Sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard to stand firm in the Lord in light of the news we had this week. Someone's going into mosques in New Zealand and murdering 50 people who are simply there to pray. It makes you wonder, how does evil infiltrate into people's hearts and minds in such a way? And what does it say to us about our role in life and in following Jesus? And is it helpless? Is it hopeless? Well, Paul says, start by imitating me. We had our fourth grandson on Wednesday, and I just had this immense dichotomy of emotions as that news was coming from New Zealand, and holding little Oliver Brooks, just a few minutes old, and thinking, what kind of world have we created for you? And how can we make it better? And I thought about this imitating me that Paul's asked the people in Philippi to do. It reminds me of me and my brothers. I was the third of five boys in my family. Of course, all four of the other ones wanted to be me when they grew up. It's really embarrassing. None of them are here today, so I can just get away with this. But my younger brother, Don, really did follow me around, imitate me a lot, and often led to him, you know, getting stitches and broken bones and things like that, because he was doing things he was not old enough to do. And I remind him of that all the time as well. Our other two grandsons are just like that. The younger one following the older one around. I want to do everything he does, including things I'm not capable of doing. Y'all know what that's like. Well, that's what imitating means, to follow someone that you love and admire and want to be like, and do your best to do that. I think the phrase that comes to mind with what Paul is saying is maybe fake it till you make it, right? What was Paul about? Well, he was about rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. About giving everything up for the cause of Jesus Christ, about bearing a cross himself as Jesus did. Those are things, when he says imitate me, he's really saying imitate Jesus. Early in Philippians, he has said in chapter 2 that we are to empty ourselves completely of our own stuff and fill it back up with love, with Jesus. I think that's a start for us. Paul says, remember that our citizenship is in heaven. That'll help. Doesn't make everything perfect. Doesn't stop evil from happening. But if it changes enough in us, if we can shift enough ourselves to not join in with the kind of rhetoric that we often hear and see from Christians to other Christians, much less to people of other faiths, you know, if we can commit ourselves to put a stop to those kinds of things, and be a beacon of light and hope and love in the world, perhaps we can make a difference for all three of those babies who have roses on that font this morning, and for each of us as well. Fake it till you make it. Be like Paul, be like Jesus. Jesus in the gospel today is warned by the Pharisees that Herod is out to get him. Now, you may find that a little surprising that the Pharisees would be on Jesus' side for something, right? Because all we hear is Jesus and the Pharisees doing battle throughout the Gospels. But in this case, they said, Herod is out to kill you. And Jesus is not the least bit concerned about that. Go tell that fox what I've been up to, he says. I'm curing people. I'm casting out demons. I'm going about the business that God sent me here to do. Not worried about him. Now, this is Herod Antipas, who's a son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great is the Herod, King Herod, who built the temple and who also wanted to kill all the babies in the Bethlehem area when he heard that Jesus had been born. This is his son. And most of his time he spends hanging out in Galilee, as does Jesus. He would go to Jerusalem on occasion, but not very often. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, we only hear one time of Jesus going to Jerusalem as an adult, and that is when he went to the cross. So Jesus has spent his earthly ministry time in Galilee, in that area. Nazareth for a while, which is not far from the Sea of Galilee, and then Capernaum becomes his headquarters. Those of us who went on the Holy Land trip will remember the Sea of Galilee area. It's my favorite part of the Holy Land. There's something magical about it, something special about it. The Sea of Galilee is a lake. It's a big lake. It's 13 miles long and about 7 miles across. And we stayed the first few nights in a hotel right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee with balconies looking out over it. Watching the sun come up and the sun set over that place is something you will never forget. We even got to ride a boat out on it and cast our nets into the sea and sing some songs and picture Jesus and the disciples in that area. You get to Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and those are great, but they're so crowded with people that sometimes you kind of lose your mind a little bit, much less have your imagination think this beautiful church is a hill named Calvary and et cetera. But in Galilee, it looks, we think, a lot like it looked then. So that's where Jesus has been all this time, but something has shifted in the story. Just prior to this, we've heard the famous verse, at least famous to me, one of my favorite verses in all the scripture, that says Jesus has turned his face toward Jerusalem. He knows what he must do. He must go there and face the cross. And that's what he's about to do. That's why he tells the Pharisees, I'm not worried about Herod. I've got to be on my way. On my way to Jerusalem, that place that kills the prophets. Think about that. And Jesus does this other thing. While thinking about Jerusalem, he says those words, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. What a beautiful image. It's an image of God as a mother, with maternal instincts, wanting to protect their young no matter what. I see a lot of moms out here right now who do the exact same thing in a heartbeat. You know, we have stories of hens gathering their chicks in case of a fire in the barnyard, and they put the chicks underneath their wings, and the hen actually doesn't survive the fire, but the chicks are perfectly fine because the mother went to that extreme to hold on to them and protect them and give them life. That is what Jesus is saying. How I have longed to do that for you. But you rejected me, and I know what I must now face. Evil comes into the world, and we're not sure how these things happen, how anybody can make those kinds of decisions like the shooters in New Zealand made, that they think snuffing out these lives of these innocent people helps their cause in some way. I will never be able to understand that. So our role in this is what? I think it is to live as people who believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that when he went to Jerusalem, he did die on a cross, and 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead. Jesus talks about it in code language in this gospel. This day and the next day and the next. This is what I have to be about. And that has to make a difference in our lives and in who we are. So we have to fake it till we make it. To imitate Jesus and imitate Paul by being people of love and purity and hope into a world that's filled with darkness. We must speak out against hate speech. We must encourage people to love one another. Jesus tells us to love as I have loved you. Jesus tells us to love even your enemies and pray for them. That's hard love, but it's what we are called to do and be, and I think it makes a difference in the world when we do that, when we raise up our children to believe that. Michael Curry, our presiding bishop, says, if it ain't about love, it ain't about God. Now think about that. If it ain't about love, it ain't about God. And I believe Jesus still desires to hover over us and gather us under his wings and to love us and to nurture us and to protect us and calls upon us to do the same to all those that we come encounter with. To love them in that way, like a mother hen would do, all even to death. To make an example that love is the way and hate never is. So speak out against it. Don't let people get away with hate speech. Say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and we are called to love with a Jesus kind of love. And even if you have to fake it till you make it, start there by loving someone that's hard to love and praying for them too. I'll leave you with this image. In the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the creation story, we hear how in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and there was a void, right, that the earth was just in chaos. And in the second verse it says the Spirit moved over the deep. You remember that part? Well, the actual Hebrew word for moved, what we hear moved over the deep, means to hover over it. And that Hebrew word translated into the Greek is the word that is used when Jesus is talking about gathering the chicks, the brood, and watching over them. So from the very beginning, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God have been there hovering over us, loving us and caring for us and trying to teach us. And Jesus says, I want to hover over you. It's the Spirit that is moving then and the Spirit that is moving now. Allow yourself to be under the wings of the mother hen, our Lord and Savior Jesus, who desires to hover over you, to brood over you, because he loves you. And then go out into the world and have people say about you when you show up, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It's the only way. Amen.